Hello, everyone. Good afternoon and welcome. This is Romola D from Romola D Reports, and I'm here today to do a second news watch this week, News Watch Live. I was so happy to get this off the ground and started last week, and I'm joined here today by Dr. John Reiser, who's been on the channel a few times before, as many people know, and he's been a very important contributor on news panels in the past. Dr. John Reiser is a chiropractor. He's a holistic physician. He's also worked as an educator. He's also a screenwriter, a fiction writer, and a novelist. So I'm really thrilled to be here speaking with Dr. John Reiser again. He runs a blog, nofakenews.net, and or he can correct me on the name of this exactly.
That's correct.
That is correct. Thank you, John. You know, like me, he's been very concerned about what's going on in the whole world regarding the so-called pandemic, which many of us have understood to be a plandemic and truly a scamdemic, a casedemic, in other words, something that's been absolutely built up by way of those very faulty PCR tests. And that, unfortunately, is being used as an excuse by despots around the world to run very totalitarian operations on the entire planet. And we're now at a point in time where we are seeing these vaccines continue to be in use despite the numbers of deaths, disabilities, adverse reactions piling up at databases in the US, the UK, Europe, literally everywhere around the world. And I know there is some good news. Lots of people are waking up. Many physicians are speaking out. I saw the news today that a Finnish politician actually made remarks to the parliament, the Finnish parliament, about how this is actually a kind of a global genocide, given the number of vaccine deaths. The paper, The Irish Light, has it on their front page, I think yesterday or today. Gemma Doherty had that on her channel. So a lot of people are waking up. The CDC has called an emergency meeting, supposedly, to examine the rise in cases of heart inflammation in teens. And a lot of cardiologists have spoken out. Professor Peter McCullough has spoken out about how the vaccines are dangerous for children and they should be stopped immediately, especially given these incidences of heart inflammation, etc. And, you know, other doctors are calling, UK Medical Freedom Alliance, Dr. Roger Hodgkinson, various other doctors are calling for an immediate halt to the vaccines. So that's where we are today. And on the other hand, there's the bad news. We are seeing the vaccines continue to be in use. I just wrote an article last week looking at what the DOD and the DHHS, that's the Health and Human Services, are doing, signing agreements to roll out more COVID testing on school children right up till 2023. And, you know, in tandem with that, there's going to be more rollout of vaccines. So that's the horrifying scenario we're looking at. So first of all, welcome, John. Thank you for joining me. And what do you think of this entire landscape of this continuing scamdemic?
Well, once again, thank you, Romola, for having me on your show. It's always a pleasure to chat with you and your guests.
Absolutely.
I think that it's just more of the same thing that's going on. It's the PSYOP just continues to roll on. And from the very beginning, the entire scenario was predicated on getting a lab diagnostic test out there that could, in fact, legitimize in the public's mind a disease. And that's exactly what they've done. The PCR test is not a credible test for any type of microbe, be it a virus or anything. It was always designed to be in a lab setting where it could amplify certain products and bring them out so that they could do laboratory work with them. It was never meant to amplify insignificant genetic materials and confirm them as being a virus or a diagnostic tool that could do anything with a virus. And it's funny that, you know, when you look at all of the childhood diseases and many of the viruses that have been turned into villains throughout the years, they all, almost all of them, if not all of them, test are tested positive by PCR tests. And so we have a fraud not only going on with SARS-CoV-2, we have an ongoing fraud with infectious diseases in general that have been going on for decades. And I think the same criminal partners are complicit in it, and they've been doing this for a long time. So when you look at virology and when you look at microbiology that's taught in basic sciences in the institutions where these people become healthcare practitioners, they're being taught an incorrect aspect, an incorrect understanding of microbiology and infectious diseases. Now, I realize I'm a chiropractor, and a lot of people are going to say, well, what does a chiropractor know about medicine? Well, I will, and I'm not doing this to be condescending to other people, but I will take my education and understanding of microbiology, put it up against anyone from any institution. And if they want to debate me about it, bring it on, because we'll talk about it. I don't think they want to do it, but I wouldn't want to do it if I wouldn't want to debate myself, actually. And again, it sounds really, you know, I'm not trying to be braggadocious, but there's an understanding that a lot of people in medicine, including myself, have a true understanding of how it works. And these people, including myself and others, are being censored because the truth hurts. And what they've done with SARS-CoV-2 is it's a genocide. This was designed to roll out numbers, case numbers, that are 100% false positives, so that they could introduce the terms emergency use authorization, or EUAs, because the emergency use authorizations allowed for the introduction and the administration of these bioweapons that have been disguised and renamed vaccines. They're not vaccines. And the other thing that I want to say that is really a very, very big red flag, and should be in the eyes of anybody that has a background in microbiology, is we've been listening for years to experts tell us that vaccines, traditional vaccines, are the way, they're the best thing since sliced bread to control and prevent infectious diseases. And the way that a traditional vaccine works is you take an attenuated viral isolate, or whatever that pathogen is, you attenuate it, modify it, weaken it, and introduce it into the person through a vaccine. And that allegedly will create an antibody response that makes the immune system stronger, so that when it comes into contact with the real pathogen later on, it can fight it off. Well, if that's the best thing that science had to offer, then you tell me why, when we are faced with a world pandemic of something as deadly, allegedly deadly, as SARS-CoV-2, they didn't use that model. Why didn't they use traditional vaccines? Why did they roll out a messenger RNA vaccine that has limited test studies, according to them, in animals, and they died? Why are we doing something that's unknown when we have vaccines, traditional vaccines, that allegedly work so well? And one reason would be because they don't have any viral isolates, because it doesn't exist to begin with. And the second thing is vaccines in general, whether they're traditional or messenger RNA, they don't work. They make the immune system weak and destroy the immune system, which ultimately sets the stage for why people get sick with bacterial and fungal infections.
Absolutely. Even, and I don't think you're alone in this opinion and this informed understanding, Dr. Reiser, because I have certainly read this opinion from others like you who have made a deeper study, as you say, and both from a kind of a health holistic level as well as from, you know, the microbiological level, as you have done. And this notion of there has never been a virus isolate is kind of mind-blowing for many people, because, you know, this notion of viruses has now taken root so firmly in the public imagination, in the cultural imagination, and that for that we have to blame mainstream media, right? Because it's been working very closely with the guys who create the so-called drugs and vaccines to combat the viruses, telling us that, you know, from time to time, new viruses have sprung up, there are variants springing up, there are epidemics, there are pandemics going on, there's swine flu, there's Ebola, there's the Zika virus, and now we've got SARS-CoV-2, which, as you say, nobody has actually isolated. And now this is another thing, you know, a lot of people on Twitter, you see, oh no, stop putting out that lie that it's not been isolated. But what is the truth about SARS-CoV-2? Has it been isolated?
follow along with a traditional definition of isolated, you know, Koch's postulates. What they did was they did take a picture of something. They did genomically sequence something with a computer model version of it, but basically, for all intents and purposes, that's CGI. So there's never been a this you should be able to take a person that's infected with a disease and take a sputum sample or, you know, lung fluid sample, and you should be able to produce the viral signature. And they can't do that. They haven't done that. And you know, it, there's plenty of people that have come out that are credentialed people that have said this. Chemically, the genomic sequence could be reproduced as it should be if it was truly isolated. Anybody in a laboratory should be able to do that. They have not been, they have not done that.
Correct.
And, yeah. And so they can say whatever they want. Yeah, there have been images published in their studies. Peer-reviewed studies that are owned by the people doing them are owned by the pharmaceutical companies that have put out the information that, yes, this has been isolated. No, it's not been isolated.
It hasn't. And several public health departments who have been queried, you know, by various concerned citizens putting out these FOIA requests, Freedom of Information requests, have received information, you know, stating pretty much there is no information on a purified isolate. And, you know, the Chinese doctor in Wuhan, I forget his name, but somebody from the original Wuhan center who had actually announced the so-called pandemic or whatever, came out and said he's been recorded on television saying there is no isolate. So there appear to be conflicting stories, false narratives floating about. And then we understand also from our understanding of this vaccine, there was a synthetic sequence for the spike protein that went into the creation of this mRNA substance, this chemical substance, the synthetic chemical substance that's been put into the Pfizer vaccines, the Moderna vaccines, and it's been injected into people. And now we've got Fauci's emails with a lot of stuff coming out about gain-of-function research. And as you know, the big to-do in the news, you know, television news lately, is all about that gain-of-function research, bat coronaviruses, and so on. And there's also that article from, you know, about the Indian researchers whose research regarding supposed inclusions, lab-engineered inclusions into the spike protein, had been kind of dismissed and deprecated by Fauci a year ago in February 2020. And now he's beginning to kind of backtrack on that. So what is the meaning of that scenario where you have actual medical researchers talking about, you know, inclusions in spike proteins and so forth and engineered viruses?
Well, you know, I have stated from the very beginning, based on my understanding of microbiology and my understanding of infectious disease, SARS-CoV-2 is not a real virus. It doesn't exist. And I'm not going to come off that platform at this point. I don't think the virus is real, and I don't think COVID-19, which is the disease that comes from the SARS-CoV-2 virus allegedly, is a real disease. I think that they first of all, if you have a real viral microbe, and there's a lot of people who don't even believe that viruses are pathogenic, and I'm beginning to be one of them. The immune system is going to determine whether or not you become infected by any type of infection, whether it's bacterial, fungal, or viral. If you have a robust immune system, an immune system that's strong, you're not going to have to worry about flora that's in the environment. It's not going to make you sick. And viruses and bacteria and fungi are around us at all times. So we don't walk around sick all the time, obviously. So the fact that something is present is not going to be the indicator of whether you're going to get sick or not. Whether your immune system is up to par is going to be the indicator when you come into contact with any of these opportunistic flora that are around, whether they're fungal, bacterial, or viral. So this idea that there are viruses in the environment that are floating around like invisible terrorists just waiting to impose their will on you is a lot of nonsense. It was a paradigm. It's the officialdom that's put out there in an effort to sell the pharmaceutical agenda of antivirals and vaccines. You need a plethora of these vaccines and antivirals to maintain an existence on the planet. Having said that, okay, so now we have to see, we're dealing with this this conversation that's taking place with Anthony Fauci as far as his emails being released and the gain of function research that we're everyone's talking about. And I believe this is still another PSYOP within a PSYOP. And I think what they're trying to do.
So that would suggest a sort of a grand engineering of a PSYOP, right? Because it's isn't it multi-layered? You'd mentioned the test earlier. And you'd mentioned what, you know, Dr. Gary Mullis, the inventor of the test, also said. It's not really meant to diagnose anything. And he actually said it would find anything. So it's kind of invalid as a test, but yet it's being used. And I also wanted to ask you about that swab that's used in the test and what people have discovered on the swab and the information that's coming out that in itself is a form of vaccine, that it's got nanoparticles in there, that it's going right up to the brain. Dr. Astrid Stackelberger has said it's going right up to the brain. It's trying to pierce the blood-brain barrier, you know, go close to your pineal gland. It's putting magnetic nanoparticles way up there. What are the implications of all of that? Why is it dangerous? And why, you know, how is it dangerous for children? How can we send a message to the people who think this is okay for kids to say, no, this, stop and think for a minute, you know? This is super dangerous.
Yeah, I don't think that it's a good idea for kids to get vaccinated, any vaccines. I think that vaccines are the launching points of disease, infectious disease, and serious illness later in life, which is why they do it, because they make money selling pharmaceutical products later on. But specifically with the COVID vaccines or the gene-altering therapies that they are called, and they're called vaccines, I don't think it's a good idea for children. I don't think it's a good idea for anyone to take these. They're poisons. And what they're doing is they're altering the genetics, even though they'll tell you they're not doing it, they are doing it because you're changing the DNA, because the DNA doesn't normally make this spike protein, and now it will. So you have to change something for that to do it. It's like if you're going to have your cell phone or you're going to do an update on it. Once you do a computer update on it, it gives you a different appearance when you're looking at the screen.
Can I ask you to pause right there? Because I'm very curious about the scenario. You know, the mRNA particles supposedly go into the cell, right? So the mRNA, the synthetic foreign substance, goes into the cell, you know, and it's assisted into the cell with these nanoparticles, lipid layer coating and magnetic coating or whatever, and they go in. And then after that, they get the cell to create the spike protein. So I wanted to ask, you just mentioned DNA. So is DNA involved in that creation of the spike protein?
It's all involved. It's all part of the program. I mean, how can it not be involved? The genetic of it, and it's bringing in instructions, so it's going to change and affect all genetics in there to some level. And there are going to be people that are going to debate whether, you know, I've talked to people and said, well, no, it doesn't affect the DNA or it doesn't affect the genetics. It just, but it does, because you can't change. You have proteins that are being made that aren't naturally occurring, and so these are the instructions coming through. So to me, I mean, yeah, there would have to be some type of a change in the genetics, in the human genome to do that.
Yeah, I was reading that usually the DNA sort of creates or develops the mRNA, you know, because that it's sort of the communication is the other way around. It's not usually RNA to DNA, it's usually DNA to RNA. But in this case, what's happening is there's foreign RNA being introduced into the cell. And then there's this notion of reverse transcription, right? Which has also been observed and been researched and written about, which is exactly this. The RNA goes and changes the DNA rather than the other way around. So this reverse transcription may be in action, is what you were saying.
So anyhow, I mean, you know, you get so complicated with the semantics and the terminology we lose people. But in a nutshell, what's happening is they're putting in the instructions in your body, genetically speaking, to make a spike protein. That spike protein is allegedly supposed to stay in one area, but it's not. It's going throughout the body. It's crossing the blood-brain barrier. It's going into tissues, in the reproductive tissues. It's going all throughout the body. And they the spike proteins are actually the bioweapons, because when the immune system turns on, it's going to attack those spike proteins. And so wherever they are, that's where the war is going to be fought. And it's going to cause a serious, serious autoimmune problem for some people, and it's going to cause sterility in others, and it's going to cause changing of the human genome. People can argue about it all they want. I talked to people on – I did a phone call to the South Carolina Department of DHEC, and I asked them all kinds of questions. I pretended that I was a layperson, and I was asking them questions that you're asking about. Does it affect the DNA? And they told me mm-hmm. it doesn't affect anything, and it's not permanent, and it's totally safe, and it's been approved by the FDA. That's amazing. I had the whole thing recorded, and I put it on my website. And it was just
fabulous. So I have to check it out. Do give us the link.
total misinformation. And it's not even, you see, you have lay people going for advice to people at DHEC. Those people aren't medical people. They're people that were hired, and they're reading off of a script. So you have people that are lay people educating other lay people about subjects that they don't have any business educating them about.
Wow, and that's dangerous.
It's dangerous. The whole thing is dangerous. But as I wanted to say one other thing about the gain of function research.
Yeah.
Many people believe that the gain of function research, for those people who don't understand, is that's research that generally is trying to weaponize viruses, microbes. You're trying to make them more pathogenic, so that they'll be more virulent if they're a virus in people and make them, you know, they're not naturally occurring. They genetically modify them. I don't believe it's possible. I don't believe that any of that research has ever yielded anything in the way that would harm human beings. Because number one, based on their own information, viruses mutate so fast and they spin out of one form into another and usually into a more benign form according to their own science. So that's why after a while, when viruses are around, they supposedly level off. So that's one reason. But the other reason is because the immune system, again, as I said before, the immune system makes the decision on whether you're going to be healthy or not when you come into contact with anything. They knew when they did this psyop, no pathogen, because they knew that not enough people would get sick. Most people have good immune systems in the world. So it's not going to create the numbers that they needed to create. People wouldn't even know anything was going on. So they had to create something with a fake virus. And that's why they needed a PCR test to drum up case numbers. We don't have a pandemic. We have a case-demic. And it's always
absolutely.
Yeah. So if you really had a virus that could do what they claim it could do, you would not need to have a phony PCR test. You wouldn't need it. You would be able to have people that would be coming legitimately getting sick and would be responding. But it's easier for them to control all the angles if they have something that's fake. Because when you have something that's fake, you can dial back the testing by lowering the amplification cycles or raising them. You can make it look like the vaccines are working. You can dial it down. You can dial it up. You can create spikes. You can do anything you want. And that's what they're doing. That's what they've done from the beginning. And people are getting sick like people always get sick because they get vaccines and they get infections and they get their resistance lowered. And then all of those people that get the infections, they tell them they have COVID-19. And they tell them, well, I lost my sense of taste and I lost my sense of smell. Every upper respiratory infection that has ever hit someone and any common cold causes that to happen. But people are very impressionable. They're influenced by information. And when they keep on listening 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to the mainstream media that tell them that this is what's going on, they think they have COVID. And then they have a test that tells them they have COVID, and they think they have COVID. So they become hammers, and hammers see nails, and these hammers see COVID. That's what's going on.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is most definitely, just looking at it from the outside, it is absolutely a mass psyop. People have used the terms mass hypnosis, mass psychosis that is being, you know, delivered to us by governments, the media, people standing in front of mics and pounding away at COVID-19 day after day after day, as if it's the only issue in the world we need to worry about. You know, when governments are doing things that are way worse than just this, which is bad enough, of course. But, you know, there's a lot of other stuff that needs to be looked at. The huge terror budget of the DOD, for instance. And but everything is being subsumed by this extreme focus on COVID. And as you say, this notion of the tests are drilling up the numbers. And I think you have done an incredible job right now, John, in just sort of clearly laying out how they have multi-layered this pandemic, and that this test constitutes a very material aspect of getting the numbers up, and using this test sort of as a fulcrum, you know, around which the entire scamdemic revolves. So you have more cases by forcing people to do the test. And right. That, you know, to me, that is one of the most horrific aspects of this entire scenario. Why are people submitting to this hugely invasive, intrusive thing that's being pushed into their nasal cavities, and that we are finding has ethylene dioxide on it, has nanoparticles on it, etc., that's going right up to your blood-brain barrier? Why are people submitting to this? And why are people permitting their children to be submitted to this? You know, it's absolutely horrifying to me.
It is, Romola. And they knew this. They knew what they could get away with before they did it, because they've been measuring the reaction characteristics of the public for years. They know what the public will do. It's a psychology, and they're experts at reading the public. They have search engine results that measure trends. They can tell what people react to when certain psyops are run. They're running psyops all the time. As far as the testing is paramount. It's of paramount importance to the powers that be, because they need to have people continually getting tested so that they can keep the case numbers at a pandemic level. If you don't have a pandemic definition, you can't roll out the EUAs, and you can't keep the vaccines flowing. Because remember, these are untested, unproven, unsafe vaccines that never would see the light of day in a normal situation where there is no pandemic. So you have bioweapons that exist and are being administered because of a pandemic. You have a pandemic that exists because of case numbers. You have case numbers that exist because of a fraudulent test. So it's all like a house of cards. You have to have continuous testing in order to keep the PSYOP going. And of course, they tell people you're going to be killing your grandparents and your loved ones if you don't get tested. You could be having this deadly disease and it's asymptomatic, which is a bunch of baloney.
That's right. And that's the other thing. They are frightening people. They're frightening children. I have to tell you, talking to my 16-year-old daughter, you know, she also was of the opinion that if she took the vaccine, she would be saving others, and she didn't want other people to be harmed because of her. So, you know, this is the kind of thinking, the fraudulent thinking that's been imposed and projected onto children, onto teenagers. It seems to me highly reckless and irresponsible, because it is so false. It's kind of guilting, you know, it's moral guilting, forcing people. It's very communist, of course. It's forcing you to, you know, think of others, not yourself. That's why you wear a mask. And now take the vaccine, thinking of others, not of yourself. You know, never think about yourself. Don't think about your health. You know, don't think about your own self, when in actuality, I mean, what is the basis of health? Doesn't it start with the self?
That's right. And it does. And the thing is that children are very impressionable and worried about, having had a daughter that, you know, that she's 20 now, but growing up, they're always concerned about what other people are thinking. There's tremendous pressure on them. And so when they hear their friends saying, well, you know, you're not going to get the vaccine, or you're not going to do this, you're being selfish. So they think that there's pressure. Interesting to note, they want these 12 and 20 year olds to get these, you know, 12 through 20 year old age group to get these vaccines in children younger. And so lo and behold, what comes out? I hear the president of the United States talking about the Delta variant. And the Delta variant that is spreading across the United Kingdom. And guess what the Delta variant does? It affects 12 through 20-year-olds the most.
Right.
Just like right on cue, this thing just happens to come out at the same time that they're trying to get people to get vaccinated in that age group. I mean, this is really, really – actually, the science fiction writing is getting worse as we go along. It was pretty good in the beginning, but now it's getting pretty bad.
It's pretty much fiction at this point, isn't it? I mean, beginning to end, it's been fiction.
It's writing. Yeah, they're writing things things in that are just unbelievable. And that, but people believe it. You know, people, well, you know, it just so happens that we have these vaccines now and there's a variant that's coming. But how can you make a variant of something that doesn't exist? You can't. But the variants will play a very, very important role down the line later this year and in the years to come, because the variants will be the causal or the blame for the deaths that occur from the cytokine storms from the people that are vaccinated. You're going to see peer-reviewed research that's going to come out that says the COVID, they cause heart inflammation, they cause heart disease, they cause dementia, they cause all kinds of things, they cause sterility, because they know that's what the vaccines that they put out there are going to do. These vaccines weren't made in the last year, Romola. These vaccines have been in a freezer waiting. They know exactly. These vaccines do work, but not the way people think they work. They are not going to help people get well. They are going to take people down. And they just found faster and better ways to do it. And, you know, this idea that you're going to get taken down by an airborne transmissible disease and down is by injecting these poisons directly into your system. And then your body's immune system is going to do the job. And it's so, so disturbing and so upsetting, because there are plenty of people out there, myself included, and even more that are have tremendous credentials, that are medical people and scientists and research people, that have been screaming at the top of their lungs and saying what I'm telling you right now, that but they're being censored. And why would you censor everybody off of all of these platforms unless you had some reason to prevent them from speaking, because it's going to disrupt your agenda?
Yeah. Absolutely. I think you're absolutely, you know, spot on about that. Very clearly, the incredible deplatforming of doctors who are speaking out, who are talking about the cytokine storm, the spike protein going everywhere, are being deplatformed, they're being censored, and now they're also being censored by their own universities, their own research institutions. Dr. Byron Bridle came out and spoke about the spike protein. He's an immunologist, and he's connected to a university, and he actually spoke about how he had made a mistake. We all have made a mistake, he said. We're finding the spike protein goes everywhere. And he said this after looking at the Pfizer biodistribution study in rats from their clinical trials, from their Japanese data, a document that was finally released. And looking at the data, you can see that the nanoparticles, the mRNA, is going everywhere. The spike protein is found everywhere in the body. As you said, it's found in the brain, it's found in the ovaries, etc. And it's inevitably going to have implications for fertility, implications for heart disease, for cancer. I heard Dr. Peter McCullough talking about how it might have implications for cancer, etc. And, you know, since a lot of these doctors are speaking out, and these are the doctors, you'll find their conversations now only on Brand YouTube or BitChute or Brighteon. Sure. You won't find them on YouTube. They've been kicked off of YouTube. And all of our channels, you know, those of us who've been hosting their words, we've been kicked off of YouTube as well. So, as you say, this is a distinct, massive, structured, systemic agenda to shut down absolute truth-telling about the truth of what's going on with these vaccines and the adverse.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't think it's a mistake. I don't think it's a mistake, because when you look at the autopsies that I'm talking to people and listening to people and reading materials, that these spike proteins are going all over the place, those are the same things that happened in the animal studies that were done. So how could they say it was a mistake when they knew what was going to happen? Now, these individual doctors that
That's
are speaking,
correct. That's
these
correct.
Individual
That's
doctors that are speaking might not have known. But, you know, the people that were designing these things.
The Pfizer doctors and researchers.
They knew.
They did those clinical trials. They saw the data. And it didn't stop them. They just went ahead, you know, because they were on contract. Pfizer and Moderna have been on contract since 2013 with DARPA to develop these vaccines. They're
Absolutely.
Being given millions and millions of dollars just to develop the vaccines. It's almost like they've been given a free ride. You know, they've gotten contracts to develop it, and now they're making millions by selling it, by selling the vaccines.
You have a concerted effort that has taken place by multiple parties, and these vaccines they've been around for a while. They've been working, perfecting them. And they just needed the right excuse to get people to want to jab poisons into their arms. And they've scared people through a PSYOP. They do a lot of things through PSYOPs. But the real damage is that, and the real shame is that people are voluntarily doing this on their own. If you notice, and I wanted to get into this before I forget, way back when the PSYOP first came out, there were reports by people that these vaccines were going to be made mandatory, that the COVID vaccines were going to be mandatory, that the military was going to come in. In fact, when President Trump at the time was acting president, he said that there would be warp speed production and the military would administer these. Now, he never said that they were going to be mandatory. He left that up to your imagination. But they put that out there. They had Alan Dershowitz, who was a well-known defense attorney, come out.
Oh, yeah.
And they made sure, he came out and said something to the effect that the vaccines will be plunged into people's arms against their will because it's not constitutionally protected, mandated vaccines. And so what we have is a situation where they were telling people or making people believe right from the beginning that these vaccines were going to be made mandatory. They knew way back then that these vaccines were never going to be allowed to be made mandatory because they knew way back then that they were going to use false testing to create pandemic terminology to create the release of emergency use authorizations so that they could get untested, unproven vaccines administered. So they knew way back then that there was no way possible legally to get these vaccines mandated. Yet they made people believe that they were going to be mandated because it was part of the PSYOP. Part
That's
of the PSYOP.
Really interesting.
Oh, it's more than interesting. It's criminal. It's criminal.
Absolutely. And you know, I've read some things about the possibility of the Pfizer vaccine being authorized, being approved very soon, possibly. Now, is this a real possibility? Is it likely? Is it possible that the FDA could actually approve this vaccine? Because, you know, they're happily using this EUA now to approve the vaccine in children 12 and under, you know, both in the UK and the US.
I think it's possible. I don't know if they'll be able to do it. I mean, they're writing their own rules and so can they do it? They can do anything they want, it appears, because they have no regard for people's, you know, rights or morals or anything
They're
like that.
They're operating in this fashion, isn't it? They're operating in a fashion as if they are not being held
right.
back by any kind of rules, regulations, any kind of concern for people, for the number of deaths, etc.
But what they did, Romola, is they said they just approved the vaccines for children, right? That's what they said. But that's how that's the terminology they used. They used an EUA, which means they authorized unapproved vaccines for children, the same unapproved vaccines that everyone else has been getting. So they make it sound like it's approved. Well, we approved it with an EUA. An EUA, by definition, means that you didn't approve it. So you've approved, you've allowed the administration of these vaccines in children now, and dispensing them to people even though they're still unapproved. That's all that means. But
absolutely,
can they get the FDA to approve these things? I don't know if they can or not. They should have been taken off if this was on the up and up and we're looking at and measuring the results of people getting sick and dying. I was told that in the 1970s when the swine flu vaccines came out, there were between 15 and 50 people that they think died from that, and they pulled the whole program. So we have thousands of people that have at least had some kind of causal relationship with death after getting these vaccines, and they're letting this go on and on and on. So I ask you, if this is on the up and up, why would they do that? It doesn't make any sense.
You're very that is a spot on question. That is very, very apt to ask. Because indeed, at this point in time, the CDC has just recorded over 6,000 deaths. And, you know, we were speaking about this a little bit earlier, and you were saying that the CDC is just recording one fraction of the actual number of deaths, possibly, right?
Yeah, there's, you know, it's widely known by people that are healthcare practitioners that there's vastly underreports those cases as being vaccine injuries. And the reason is because when doctors, and I through the years I've talked and had friends that are medical doctors, they don't want to report that on the Vera system because it's a mark against their name and they're afraid to do it. Wow. So what happens is when you look at those numbers, it's estimated by people in the know that it's probably 1-3% accurate. There's probably anywhere from a 97-99% underreporting of cases. So when you see 6,000 cases that are reported, people that have taken the vaccine and have died shortly thereafter, it's more like 500,000-600,000 people. Most likely,
wow,
is the more accurate number.
That's actually mind blowing.
Yeah.
If that's
so when
the
you,
case, we are looking at a far from this is the pandemic. Then it's sort of the pandemic of vaccine deaths.
Yeah, that's a real pandemic. That's a
wow.
Real pandemic.
That is actually kind of scary. So a lot of doctors I know have actually been putting out figures like you have, estimates, possible, probable, likely estimates that there are hundreds of thousands of deaths actually from this vaccine. And and therefore there must also be hundreds of thousands of adverse reactions. I was reading, you know, various anecdotal snippets on Twitter about whole floors of hospitals being taken up with COVID stroke patients and so on. And people are coming in after the vaccine with adverse reactions. So this is actually not being reported, it seems like.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. I think that there's a grossly underestimated amount of whatever, you know, I think the numbers that are coming in are a fraction of what's really happening.
So very clearly, there's some kind of political agenda in action over here, because normally with any other drug or vaccine, with these kinds of numbers, the thing would have been pulled from the market a long time ago. That hasn't happened. And we also know that because these are gene-based vaccines, this is sort of within...
is on.
Hi, I'm back. I guess we just said something rather explosive that bumped me right off the broadcast over here. But I was just remarking on, you know, what you had stated and just saying that given the fact that we have this, it looks like that this is a political agenda in operation. And, you know, given also the fact that these are gene-based vaccines, we have this whole world of gene editing drugs, CRISPR, etc., gene editing therapies that have been developed, and the connections between these gene-based vaccines and that, you know, the gene editing therapies. It appears that the implication that many doctors have been, you know, speculating about, that they're trying to bring in a new form of quote-unquote vaccine now, which is just sort of installed as operating this Moderna-style operating system in the body, and then through booster jabs, through other means, you know, continuous vaccination, possibly with continuous variants, as you mentioned, people will inevitably become, you know, subsumed within the sort of subjugatory system of lending their arms to vaccines all the time and constantly having their DNA being transformed.
Absolutely. And I think that when you look, Romola, at the disease itself, the COVID-19 and the SARS-CoV-2, the rollout of this fake virus is just the first float in a large parade. It is going to go on and on and on. They're going to roll out different floats past the world grandstands as it goes. And you're going to have variants, and you're going to have uptick in old viruses and new ones. And they're going to do this as the reason and the rationale for rolling out more vaccines. Isn't it amazing how these variants that they have rolled out and they're rolling out right now, they're telling you to, for example, the Delta variant, they're telling people to roll out, you know, they're saying, take this vaccine because of this new variant.
And so I just wait.
Can you hear? I don't know if you can hear. Okay. What they're saying is, take your vaccines, take these COVID vaccines, because the Delta variant is coming. How do we know that the vaccines and the spike proteins that they put into us are going to be effective against variants? We don't know that. If you want to go and believe their narrative, because everything is changing. How can they? I mean, according to them, sometimes you have to have new shots because things mutate just a little bit. So we have a variant, and all of a sudden they know without even studying this thing for a few days or a few months that these vaccines are going to work for that. So there are a lot of holes in the story. But people that are not thinking properly, people that are afraid, people that have been taken, you know, their freedoms have been taken away from them, and they're dangling this carrot in front of them saying that if you take this vaccine or you take these different vaccines, you're going to be able to go back to normal. You're going to be able to go travel again. You're going to be able to go see grandma again. You're going to be able to go fly in an airplane again. Life will be just great all over again. Just take this medical magnificent potion. And that's what they're trying to do. And people that are scared or fearful that they're going to offend someone else because they didn't get the vaccine and someone else did, they're going to do it. It's pressure. And they know. They don't have to mandate these things. People are doing it voluntarily.
Absolutely. And you made the remark earlier that, you know, they've clearly made a study of people's psychology, and the large portion of people behave exactly as you suggest. They behave out of fear. You know, they trust the experts. And who have been the experts? It's been Fauci and Birx and Co. So they're trusting people outside of themselves. And now they're trusting people like their mayors and their governors, who can scarcely be trusted to be health care workers, but they're taking their word as, you know, the ultimate, which is kind of frightful to see. Dr. Reiser, can we possibly shift at this point and talk a little bit about true immunity? You know, these vaccines are just, it appears that this scenario is just going to go on forever, as you state. What is actual true immunity, however? What is the truth? What is the truth about your immune system? You know, they're putting out lies. What is the truth, and how can we support our immune systems? How can parents who are afraid of COVID, the non-existent COVID, how can they take care of their children?
Well, you listen to everything that they tell you and do the complete opposite, number one. Because it's that simple. It's 180 degrees opposite. Yeah. So let's look at what they've done as far as telling people how to mitigate COVID-19, how to mitigate infectious diseases. They tell people not to get near other people, not to, you know, to segregate,
social distancing,
and make right. Okay, so you want to make sure you quarantine yourself. You want to make sure that you take plenty of drugs, and you want to take more vaccines. Those are the things you don't want to do. What you want to do is you want to understand how human immunity really works, what true herd immunity is, because true herd immunity is not, you know, it can wipe out and create immunity. That's not how it works. What herd immunity is when people come into contact with one another normally, and they build up a tolerance and immunity to their natural environment. And when people integrate and they're not quarantined and they're not segregated from one another and they're not wearing face masks that cause bacterial pneumonia because you're breathing in, you know, toxins that keep on forming. It's like if you took a car and you covered the car's exhaust pipe while it's on, the carbon monoxide poisoning is going to kill you. So basically, with carbon dioxide buildup, you know, you're putting a mask on you, it's going to make you sick. And plus, it's going to make an environment for bacteria and stuff. So get the masks off, number one. They should have never been on there. And don't be afraid to interact with people. We don't need plexiglass barriers in between people. We shouldn't be afraid of handling, you know, money. And we shouldn't be afraid of when people are coughing in public. You know, some of the most dangerous places where people get sick with some really nasty infections have been in sterile environments like hospitals. And I've always said, if you want to get healthy, play in a garbage dumpster, you know, play in the dirt, because the dirtier you are dealing with things, that it's opposite of what you think it is. But in reality, many things contribute to a healthy immune system. As a chiropractic physician, someone that works with the spinal column in making sure that spinal alignment is sufficient, and because we do that because we want to make sure the nerve system functions properly, because the nerve system, the brain, the central nervous system, the peripheral nervous system is the conduit of life. It is an expression of what the body wants The brain sends those messages out to all the physiology, all of the organs, the tissues, the cells that make us, and all of the nervous system. So if there are disruptions to the nervous system, it's very, very difficult to be healthy. So one thing that I contribute in my profession is we adjust the spine, not to get rid of back pain. We adjust the spine periodically on our patients to improve nerve function so that they have a better functioning expression of health. That's one thing chiropractically we do. We want to eat healthy. We want to try to eat the best, the cleanest food that we can. We want to try to drink the most, you know, the cleanest water that we can. We want to try to stay away things that have preservatives. We want to try and live a healthy lifestyle as drug-free as possible because we need to be able to interact in our environment, the environment that we're supposed to be in. And if the germs and the bacteria and the fungal and the viruses that are out there, if they were really meant to take us down, we would have been taken down a long time ago. We wouldn't even be able to have this conversation. And it doesn't make any sense. What that paradigm tells you is that somebody wanted to make a lot of money selling vaccines and drugs that ultimately weaken your immune system. So the things that they're telling us to mitigate COVID actually lower your resistance. They weaken your resistance and make you more susceptible to a lot of things that are out there that otherwise wouldn't make you sick. And, you know, it's interesting. I had a family member recently that had an upper respiratory infection. And she happens to live in the same house as I do. And she had it for a couple of weeks and it got better on its own. And we were all together and nobody got sick. Nobody else got sick because it was her event. It wasn't our event. It's about your own immune system. And, you know, and I'm going to just dive into a little bit of a different thing here because it relates to this. There are many people now that believe that viruses aren't even pathogens. And right. I'm beginning to, and again, this is theoretical, but a lot of people believe that most people are getting sick when their resistance goes down from fungal spores and from bacteria. And so we know that as a health practitioner, I know that fever and inflammatory reactions, sore throats, sneezing, and all of those symptoms that the medical profession tries to block, those are the ways that the body's immune system neutralizes or cleanses or sanitizes the system and it gets better. And we take drugs right. that block those symptoms. Okay, but how does it do it? How does it really do it? And I think what the body does is the immune system creates genomic sequences to do that, how to create those inflammatory reactions, those fevers, those other things. And I think those genomic sequences that do that are not pathogens, but they've been labeled as pathogens. I think they're viruses. I think that's what viruses are.
Oh, I see. Now, is this the philosophy of the exosome?
This is the philosophy of the exosome. Now, could I be wrong? Of course I could be wrong. I could be wrong. I don't know. This is theoretical. No one has proven this yet. But I think there's some meat there. And even if we are wrong, even if that theory is wrong, at the least, if viruses are opportunists and they're pathogens, they're always around us. And we're not always sick all the time, which means that the presence of viruses doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be sick. So it's not the virus's presence or the fungal presence or the bacterium's presence that makes you sick. It's your body's innate immunity or innate inability to defend itself. And so if we can just spruce up the immune system, we're fine. But you're not going to spruce up the immune system by injecting toxins through vaccines into you. And you're not going to help the body get better quicker by taking any drugs, whether they're prescription. I mean, they're talking about these anti-parasitic drugs that should have been used. They're anti-malarial drugs. They're basically deworming agents. They're parasites that they're used to kill off the parasites. They're talking about how it's 99% effective against COVID-19. We should have used this. Baloney. There is no COVID-19. all of that talk, including the gain of function research, is to bring everybody back to center so they believe this is a real viral
entity.
That's
right. Yeah.
There's no virus. You don't need any anti-malarial or anti-parasitic drugs. You don't need anything because it doesn't exist. You need to stop taking the PCR test, because if we stop taking, obviously, we'll go down, and that's the end of the game. But people are spooked. They're going to keep on doing this. They keep on telling you, you better take the PCR test. You better take this test because, you know, if you don't keep taking it, you could be infecting someone. So you keep taking the test. The test keeps yielding the fake numbers. The fake numbers keep on creating the pandemics, and they keep on rolling. It's a vicious cycle. It goes on and on.
Wow, this was vastly instructive. You've talked about the whole landscape over here of immunity and how you can actually build your immunity by, well, doing the opposite of what they demand that you do. And this concept of the exosome or the virus as an exosome or the virus as a pathogen, I think you explained it really well, that the body, in the process of actually cleansing and pushing out whatever has caused it to break down, it's sort of going through a self-cleansing, self-detoxing of its own. And in the process, it's putting out DNA sequences, which are being picked up by virologists and researchers and being seen as the virus, the pathogen.
Right.
But as you and as also Dr. Andy Kaufman has talked about, you know, it could also be seen as the exosome, because they bear the same markers, apparently, great resemblance and similarity. And indeed, from the Spanish flu information that's coming out, they found out that you can't really transmit flus, you know, through sputum and saliva and any excretions of the human body. It's not, they did an experiment and found they couldn't do it. So the whole Spanish flu story that we've been fed is also a whole storyline, right?
It is. There's PSYOP, so PSYOP on top of PSYOP and misinformation. And again, you know, I don't know if I said this because we spoke a little bit off air before we were talking, but if I'm repeating myself, just bear with me. But I was looking at all these childhood diseases, these viruses, and all of these diseases, and then of course Ebola and the MERS and the Zika and all of these viruses. You know what they all have in common? They all share in common one thing: they're tested for by a PCR test. Even the influenza.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's really interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because I think that what they've been doing for a long time,
they've been building this PCR test up.
Oh yeah. And the PCR test was never meant to test for COVID, for Zika, for Ebola.
This is why Dr. Malis talked about that. He had a
They're
press
fake. They're it. Fake. They're faking. They're creating things in, and again, if the viruses exist, they're there to create immunity or better immunity. A lot of these childhood diseases, they've made them out to be like, oh, they're terrible. They're killing. They're not that bad. It's a week or two of having a sore throat and having a rash, and they're taking poisons into the way of vaccines to eliminate people's diseases, and they're actually eliminating people. And what if these childhood diseases are nothing more than inflammatory reactions by the immune system that's getting the child or children prepared for more serious things down the line? It's prepping or priming the immune system. But you see, that type of a narrative doesn't sell vaccines. That type of a narrative doesn't sell antivirals. It's much better for the people in the big pharma industry if people are scared to death that every time they turn a corner, there's a virus that's waiting. And it's an invisible microbial terrorist.
Yeah, and listening to you, you know, you remind me of something that's really, really important that most people actually have no idea about. People who believe in science, and, you know, Fauci sort of has gone at the market here telling everybody that he is the epitome of science. People who believe in science but do not have any kind of science education themselves, unfortunately, imagine that vaccines are good science, that they have good stuff. Nobody imagines that vaccines are non-beneficial. They think of vaccines as beneficial. They don't know what you are talking about. The vaccines actually carry toxins. It seems to me, you know, we need to actually do huge focuses on this and try to get that information out to people that vaccines are toxins. They carry toxins. That's how they operate, you know, and their whole intention is to sort of stimulate and suppose that antigen or antibody response. They are antigens trying to stimulate an antibody right. response. So, people don't know that, you know, and that also, and then there's this whole issue of these particular vaccines, the mRNA particles, and perhaps we can close today with this, Dr. John, this notion of the mRNA particles. There are many people who have taken the vaccine now who are now waking up, who are reading the news about people dying, reading the news about doctors saying you've got 1 to 5 years of lifespan left. These little nanoparticles are going to go everywhere in your body. The spike proteins are going to be a bioweapon, kind of manufacturing themselves in your body and creating disability and disaster inside your system. People want to detox, want to cleanse. We've heard about this pine needle tea. We've heard about pine bark extract. We've heard about star anise, shikimic acid, I think, from star anise. Anything that you would like to recommend or suggest for people like that who want to detox from the vaccine?
I'm not an expert in detoxing, but I would say this. Don't listen to people that tell you that you put a limit on your life regardless of the situation. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm telling people that haven't been vaccinated to go get vaccinated, because obviously the best way to detox from a vaccine is never to take it. There are certain things in these messenger RNA vaccines that are probably adjuvants or, you know, ingredients that are outside of the messenger RNA component that you could probably do things to detox from. I don't know how you detox from, basically a reprogramming of your genetic material, but I would think that I would concentrate it mentally. I don't think there's anything in your body that can't be transformed mentally. Because I think that we are spiritual beings.
And isn't there the field of epigenetics, which affects your DNA?
Absolutely. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't do this or that, because that's just not how the body works.
I'm sorry, like I interrupted you, though. You were talking about the spirit.
I think we're all spiritual beings, like spacesuits for a short period of time. And I think that you know, there's more to us than just the body and what science focuses on. So can you change your genetics through thought? Probably you can. I would think that you can. I don't know for a fact, but I think there's unlimited potential and possibilities when you use your mind and when you're focused. So if you've made a mistake and you've taken this vaccine, I would continue to try to do things that are naturally going to improve your immune function. I would stay away from virus. I would not get any more vaccines. I would not get anything that veers away from natural things. That's what I would do. Now, I'm not a medical doctor. So, you know, what I give as advice as doing things is I'm not supposed to tell people medically what to do, because you get slapped on the hand for doing that. Because all of these diseases, Romola, are intellectual properties. They're all intellectual properties. And that's why the people that are medical people are allowed to do this, as long as they don't bug the system. But people that are not medical people, you're not allowed to create cures or try to come up with ways to mitigate these things. So
do you think that system has to change, because it's obviously not working for anybody? You know, there's a lot of lies and psyops going on. What do you think? Do you think we're at the point in time where all of this is completely over?
The whole system. Change.
I think you said something dramatic. You were kind of cut off. Do you mind repeating what you just said?
Yeah, I would just say this, that, you know, I don't believe that health comes from medicines or from preventive vaccines. I believe health comes from a natural expression from the inside out. Now, are there times when we might need medical people to help save our lives if we're in traumatic accidents? Yes. There's not all medicine is bad as far as the practice of medicine. But as far as the drugs and taking all of these vaccines to make us healthy, 70 different vaccines vaccines by the time we're 21 to keep us healthy, and it's growing. The list keeps growing. That's a bunch of baloney, in my opinion.
100%. Oh, I agree with you on that score. And, you know, I understand that you are a practicing practitioner of, you know, holistic methods, chiropractic, et cetera. So there's all these licensing issues involved, et cetera. And so you can't say certain things or whatever. But I think you have conveyed to us what the kernel of truth regarding how to support our immune systems, how to remain healthy. You've shared that information with us today, and I think that is hugely important. And there's all this notion also, because people are indeed putting out the message that once your DNA is altered, you can't do a darn thing, you can't detox it, you can't clean it out, etc. Well, hold that against the field of epigenetics and what you were talking about, you know, spirituality and all sorts of different things, yoga and breathing exercises and meditation and having that strong core, which is what you're talking about, health from the inside out rather than from anywhere else. And health comes also from intention, you know, to have the intention of health.
Yeah, they don't want us to know about that spiritual connection. They don't want us to – that's not considered scientific, because – they want us to believe that we are limited, that you know, that you can't do anything about certain situations, and we can.
We can, and many of us know it. And this is the other. So this is what I wanted to say, that, you know, I'm not a healthcare practitioner by any means, but I have been using holistic methods and naturopathic methods for years, decades at this point in time, and I know what works. And so everything that you are saying rings absolutely true to me, and everything that all of the holistic practitioners out there are saying rings absolutely true. So I would be like you, very hopeful, you know, even if you've taken the vaccine, don't give up. Go out and start detoxing. Start, you know, move to a healthier lifestyle. Move to a more sort of plant-based lifestyle, I would suggest. You know, lots of raw foods, lots of fruits and vegetables, sunshine. Go out and walk in the forest a lot more. Drink your pine needle tea by all means, but start cultivating an internal attitude of support for your own self, your soul, your health. And, you know, things will start changing, is what I would suggest.
I agree.
Wonderful. Any last words, Dr. John, before we close for today? This has been an absolutely marvelous, absolutely educative, informative, and sort of, you know, very practical sort of check-in with reality over here. We are living in a world of, as you said, absolute science fiction at this point in time. Really bad science fiction written by really bad writers.
It's bad. It's bad. No, I would thank you again for having me on. And if we can connect with people, and if we make a difference in one person's life or a family's, you know, lives, we've done something. And I think that just alternative media and what you do on a regular basis and what I do and what so many others do has made a difference. Because think about it. How many people a year ago were talking about this like they're having – there's conversations out there now. And so it's a snowball. It keeps growing and growing. And people, you know, they think that they're marginalized. They think that their opinions and what they're saying don't matter, but they do. And we can make a difference. And I think we have made a difference and continue to make a difference. Thank you for what you do.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. John. And, you know, I love what you say about – people needing to feel confident that their words and their actions will make a difference. Every one of us can make a difference. Even the simple act of sharing this video, and I do ask people to share this video widely, because as you know, I'm pretty, you know, shadow banned, deplatformed on YouTube. I'm operating through other channels. If you see this anywhere, please share this. If this message can help others, help us, you know, and send this message out to everybody that you can reach, and, you know, that snowball effect can kick into place. So on that note, thanks everyone for watching. Thank you again, Dr. John Reiser, and hopefully we'll see you again very soon. Bye for now.
Thank you.